Du lytter til Donut-modellen med Anders Morgenthaler. Podcasten er sponsoreret af Irma.
Vi har alle set billederne af en havskildpadde indsmurt i en plastikramme for en sixpack ved at dø i overfladen på et ellers storartet ocean. Men nu skal det være slut. Velkommen til Donut-modellen med Morgenthaler. En podcast, hvor iværksættere pitcher deres bud på virksomheder, der ikke ønsker bevidst at kvæle havskildpadder. I hver episode af Donut-modellen forsøger en ildsjæl at vride kapital ud af en flok grønne investorer for at skabe en ny bæredygtig virksomhed. Men vent, Anders. Hvad er Donut-modellen? Jo! Donut-modellen er en ny økonomisk model, skabt af den intet mindre end geniale engelske økonom, Kate Rothbard, der sikrer vækst, men aldrig på bekostning af planeten eller mennesker. Og det er ud fra den model, jeg har valgt virksomheder, der deltager i Donut-modellen. Skal vi ikke se at komme i gang? Jo, vi skal. Her er dagens grønne, bæredygtige og lækre og fremragende donuts. De elsker at investere i startups, der har noget på hjertet. Silja Nybo Andersen arbejder med impact-investeringer både for Merkur Andelskasse og som privatkonsulent.
Og for de her tanker ind helt grundlæggende i en forretningsmodel, det er dejligt at se.
August Lund, the freak green millionaire. Behøver jeg sige noget? Han har tænkt sig at brænde alt, hvad han har skræffet og grunker af på grønne startups.
Hvis der ikke er en forretning i det, så på sigt, så bliver det bare charity, og så forsvinder det alligevel. Så kan det ikke, man ikke gøre en forskel.
Så er der Christian Munk. Han er direktør i Dragsbæk Group. CEO kalder man det nu. Han er fra Thy.
Det må da være en bedre måde at udnytte på at få en forretning ud af. Kan det lade sig gøre, så vil jeg meget gerne høre om det.
Dagens virksomhed hedder Kaffe Bueno. Og så skulle man tro, at de lavede knaldhamrende god kaffe, fordi det der dejlige navn, det ligesom smører ud på tænderne. Men nej, det gør de ikke. Virksomheden, som Juan Medina står i spidsen for, bruger faktisk bare kaffegrumsen til at lave olie. Og det kan bruges i make-up og i mange andre industrier. God gammeldags genbrug, det er det, Kaffe Bueno står for. Så lad os få Juan Medina ind foran investorerne.
Ready?
Yes,
okay.
Ready.
Welcome. Yes, go ahead. Talk to us about your pitch, your business.
Okay, good morning. A pleasure to be here.
Yeah.
My name is Juan Medina. I'm co-founder and CEO of Café Bueno. We are a biotechnology company based in Copenhagen. What we do, basically, is that we use spent coffee grounds, coffee waste, cafe grounds, however you want to call it, and we use it as a platform to produce natural ingredients for cosmetics, nutraceuticals, functional foods, food in general, wellness applications.
So ground coffee, basically the leftovers from when you've
The cafe grounds.
Put it
cafe
in the grinder and it comes. Cafe grounds.
Yeah, cafe grounds.
Okay, good.
Cafe grounds.
Great
cafe
Danish grums. Word.
Cafe grounds. Yeah.
Yeah. So basically, we take that from what inspired us. Me and my two co-founders were from Colombia. Before moving to Denmark, we studied in London. That's where all these ideas started as an entrepreneurship project. Then many of our friends were Danish and Swedish, and that's where the inspiration come from. We started to look into the composition of the coffee. In Colombia, traditionally, coffee has been used also like in spas and for mask, cellulitis applications, and also, for example, your grandmother, when you had a bruise, it told you like, just put coffee. That would cure.
Okay.
So we knew that there were some very good things inside the coffee that give some health applications. And also coffee is the only beverage in the world which has been clinically proven to extend the life of its users. And this, is very impressive since only 1% ends up in your cup. Only 1% of the coffee, the other 99% goes to the garbage. So coffee is not only one of the most popular beverages on the world, but also one of the most wasteful. And that's exactly what Café Bueno is trying to tap into.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you need?
In terms of money. Yes, the amount of money that we're looking for is 50 million kronas. And
15.
From this money, we already have 30 to 45% already committed. And that's basically what we're intending to do with those 50 million is for the next 2 years, establish our own pilot biorefinery, finish developing the 4 ingredients we have in the pipeline, and take the 2 ingredients that we have ready, which is the coffee oil and the flour to the market. Right now, this coffee oil, we already have a distribution agreement signed with a distributor of ingredients, personal care ingredients in Germany, Switzerland, and Austria. We're also part of an accelerator in France with L'Oréal. So we are working with them already into introducing them into several of their brands. They are trying to use it in shampoos, sunscreen ingredients, creams. And yeah, we're in contact with already several possible clients.
Kaffe Bueno samler altså kaffegrums. Det lyder måske ikke som en stor forretning, men det, som Juan søger investeringer til, det er at få startet et såkaldt bioraffinaderi, der kan tage kaffegrumsen og udnytte alle delene af den. For inden i den grums, du plejer at smide ud, der er der stadig proteiner og olier fra bønderne, som kan bruges i andre sammenhæng. Men det er en stor investering, for Juan skal samle 15 millioner kroner. Han har dog allerede samlet 4-5 af dem, men 15 millioner for at lave et bioraffinaderi. Alligevel.
Sorry, I can maybe just add to the listeners that we have in lack of a really nice cup of coffee, which I'm actually missing right now.
Yeah,
I can show you, tell you that there is a beautiful little very simple bottle on the table, and I'm very intrigued because you're saying coffee oil. So is this something I could put directly on my skin?
Yeah.
And I'm hereby trying it, feeling like I'm in
actually,
a beauty store.
We already have tested this oil in vitro. So we have tested it in cells, in living cells, to say it that way. And we have proven the anti-aging, wound healing, and sunscreen application properties. Actually, L'Oréal had a patent already expired in 1984 where they used the coffee bean oil as a natural sun filter.
Okay.
So nowadays, for example, in Hawaii and in other countries, they are prohibiting sunscreens that have titanium oxide and other synthetic and chemical substances. Well, these have the same effect as them, and it's natural, which is something very unique of this oil.
What's your background?
My background is in international business. I work in strategy consulting and business development before. That's my background. We have worked in the coffee industry, me and my two partners. And my family had a coffee farm for a while before. And that's basically our connection with coffee. But we are a business as well. Okay.
Can I ask you about, you say that 1% of the coffee ends up in the cup and 99% is lost. What percentage of what you represent would take away from that 99% loss?
We use everything.
There's no byproduct, no nothing?
There's no byproduct. Absolutely not. I mean, right now, no, we don't have any byproduct and we use absolutely everything. So right now from the oil, we extract about 15% that was in, and then it's the flour that you can use here as well. And that's the rest. What we're doing right now is the research and development project that we got going on with Minho University in Portugal. It's about taking this flour and fractionating, creating the protein, the sugars, and antioxidants.
Alt kaffegrumsen bliver omdannet til nye produkter alligevel, ikke? Jeg ser Kaffe Bueno operere inden for donormodellen på følgende to områder. De genbruger et affaldsprodukt, og det kan jeg kun være fan af. Men det andet, som de gør, det er, at de undersøger kaffegrumsen og finder ud af, hvilke produkter kan man lave ud fra det. Lige nu har de fire produkter i gang, som kaffeolie og kaffemel, men man ved, hvad der kan laves ud af alt kaffegrumsen. Det er godt set, og de udvikler viden på noget, som i dag bare bliver smidt ud. Men hvor god en forretning er det? Det er jo op til mine donors at vurdere.
And out of the 15 million you're looking for, or you know, that is that the cost of the refinery, or is that how much is the refinery?
The capex of the biorefinery itself is around 6 million.
Okay, and the rest
is salaries, R&D. We have 4 patents filed, so we need to apply for those patents in a year from now. Mm-hmm. So it's IP, R&D, salaries, the other 7, and 6 is only in actual machinery and setup.
Yeah. And what are your expectations in terms of turnover, revenue, profits?
In the first 2 years, this is obviously not a business that is going to go short-term profits. We're looking for a time frame of investment at least 5 to 7, 8 years. And in the first 2 years, we're going to generate, with these two products, we can generate around 13,000 euros per ton. And around the first 2 years, we expect to break even like in the 15 month, selling only 300, 400 liters of oil.
So how much did you spend per ton?
13,000 euros we can get from one ton. Right now, only with these two products. When we finish developing the four products that we have in the pipeline, we can increase that to 35,000 euros per ton. The initial capacity that we're looking for is to 5 to 7 tons. And then the scale up, Denmark, I love Denmark. We have been very happy here and it has been the perfect place to develop the business. But of course, it's not that big for the scale up. For the Series A that we are going to look after the 2 years is to go into France or Germany and set up a 100-ton monthly capacity.
I obviously like the part that you're using ground beef. Coffee, ground coffee. But I was thinking, if it's so cheap, don't you think some people will just buy coffee beans and then grind them and then just instead of collecting it? I was just thinking, if you say that basically the price of ground coffee is
I know, but that's actually the price that the big companies pay the farmers. What we pay is actually much higher.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if someone sets up a competing business where they say, listen, it doesn't make sense to actually pick it up from a coffee shop because that has a bit of a cost, and then they say, fine, let's just buy it directly from the farmers, grind it and do the same business as one.
Yeah, that's actually way more expensive. Either way, if they pay $1 per ton, let's say they pay $1,000 for one ton.
Yeah. And you sell it for 13,000, you say?
Yeah, but actually our costs are much, for getting that ton is actually less.
Yeah.
And either way people are using it, so of course they could do that, but I think it's also coffee's food as well, to say the way. So it's better to use it first for food.
What does it cost you then to pick it up? Because if you have a bin in a coffee shop and you collect, let's say, 20 or 50 kilos at the time, or
around our cost for picking up one ton is around 200 to 300 euros, depending on the
per ton.
Per ton.
Okay.
But you must have a lot of competitors in this space because there are people growing mushrooms out of it. Like, there's a lot of people, and I think long term we're going to have people are going to be fighting over this, and especially if it has the qualities that you're mentioning here. What's the competitive landscape for you guys?
There's 9 billion kilograms of coffee around the world. That's huge amount. Just in Denmark, there are 35,000 kilograms consumed every year.
Sorry, say that again?
35,000 tons consumed every year, which is huge.
What does cosmetic companies use today if they don't use, coffee oil?
You can change it for this. Is it a substitute for other oils? Other oils can substitute it. You can use avocado, argan.
Okay.
In general, for example, what we are aiming for with this oil is what happened with the argan oil 10 to 15 years ago. No one really knew about argan oil, nor the benefits, nor anything. And, well, not suddenly, but some cosmetic companies started picking it up in it. And now the production went from 7 tons a year. Now they are producing more than 35,000 tons of argan oil around the world. So it's a big... that's what we're aiming for, basically.
Café Bueno ser på sig selv på samme måde, som man så arganolie ramme hylderne for 15 år siden. Kan I huske det? Der er arganolie nu i alt. Inden det skete, var der ikke ret mange, der kendte eller brugte den her arganolie. Men i løbet af meget, meget kort tid, så blev det en kæmpe industri. Faktisk så stor en industri, at argantræet i dag er truet. Det vokser blandt andet i Marokko, hvor man bruger frugterne til at lave olie, du finder i både kosmetik og fødevarer. Tror investorerne på, at Juans ambitioner om, at kaffegrumsen kan blive lige så stor en forretning, så skal de beslutte sig nu.
Okay, Juan, thank you for the presentation and the explanation. In my view, I like the product, I like the idea, etc. I think I could be interested, but I think the valuation is high. Mm. So I basically think from where you are today, getting to a 8-10 million euro valuation is high, but I would like to look into it further.
Yeah.
Celia, Christian,
don't know. Christian?
I agree. I agree with August. I like the idea. I think the valuation is far too high. You're actually telling us as investors to make a guess what your patents are worth without having proven it in the market yet. Then I was wondering just a figure. You said that the capacity with the refinery was it 5 to 7 tons?
Monthly.
Monthly. So estimated 60 to 80 tons per year.
Yeah.
And you said that you get about 13 euros per kilo.
Mm-hmm.
So
13,000 euros
per ton.
Per ton. Per ton. Per ton. So 13 per kilo.
Yeah.
So you have about... what is that, 1 million euros in turnover?
Yeah, yeah, you weighed one. Well, I'm not telling you that we're going to be profitable, or actually we're going to be, but the business is not for the first
no,
one
I
or
No, I was just
years.
Asking how, because you have to scale this.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you have, you're asking to this refinery process, and that will keep you up to a quantum of 80,000 kilos per year.
Mm.
And that will only be 1 million euro in
yeah,
turnover.
When we introduce the other four ingredients that we have in the pipeline and we scale up to 100 tons monthly, then that's what it gets interested.
So,
but for the 100 tons monthly, is that with the same refinery?
I know that's for the Series A.
But then you need a new refinery.
Yeah.
In France or Germany.
Yeah.
In a bigger place, yes. I mean, this is a project not one for a seed stage only. It's also for a follow-on Series A and Series B. This is a 5-8 year plan. To say the way, it's not that I'm not telling you that you want.
But again, I would like to see this in more details.
Yeah, of course.
Because I think it's the right idea, and the environmental part behind it, with 99% of waste, and you have. You say like the sustainability social part for the farmers in Colombia. I also think why not? Why should future farming be rentable for the farming industry? To say if we can help in some way or another, we also have some good. Connection to the refinery industry already, so that might be some way to help you go further in the process.
Definitely.
Well, you definitely have an oil customer here. I would love to actually just on a daily basis use this kind of products, and it's very much aligned with the way that I think and conduct my own life. I think for a pre-revenue business, the valuation is too high for me, so for that, I'm out. But I see a major potential in some of the patents that you're talking about. And one thing I would like to discuss with you afterwards is to get a little bit more understanding on the ones that are in the bin, because I think transportation of food today is one of our biggest challenges. And that's a very, very niche thing that I'm very interested in, but that's very specific. But I wish you all the best. It's a fantastic business, and thank you for bringing coffee to the room.
Okay, so I'll round this off. Obviously, I'm in the food business myself. Mm-hmm. I have restaurants, use a lot of coffee, and we actually just recently invested in a coffee farm in Mexico. So I'm sorry to hear that the prices are so low for coffee. But I would like to hear more about it, just like Christian. And in terms of valuation, etc., let's see when we understand better the patents.
Yeah,
so let's leave it with that. We'll Christian and I will talk to you, and we'll get a little bit more information.
Ja. Hvad synes du om det?
Jamen altså, jeg synes om det, jeg kunne godt lide det. Det fungerede på mange områder. Jeg har altid den bekymring, jeg synes, man møder mange mennesker, og især i øjeblikket nu her, der mener, at deres forretning er utrolig meget værd, før den overhovedet er kommet off the ground, ikke?
Coffee ground,
ikke? Og det er selvfølgelig fedt, men jeg tror også, at det er vigtigt at være realistisk, ikke? Og det her, det var meget, meget tidligt. i forløbet. Det er jo ikke sådan, at han har et marked nu, eller et salg, eller et overskud eller underskud.
Men det, der ligesom slår mig, som er, når man sidder og lytter til det her, så er det fedt at høre, at I sådan set jo er åbne. Altså, I tænker, hey, her er noget at arbejde med. Kan I, jeg kunne godt tænke mig at spørge jer to, nu, I ender jo sådan set med at sige, jamen, vi kan godt komme med 7,5 million, hvis...
Ja.
Ja, hvis investeringen hænger sammen.
Ja, og du siger, at, at raffinaderiet, altså raffinaderiet interesserer dig, at måske kan du komme med noget der, og du har alle de her fødevarebusinesser, så I har måske, man kan sige, det, I tilbyder...
Jeg har alligevel lige brugt 7,5 million på en kaffefarm. Så.
Nå, men det, må jeg ikke prøve at spørge til jeres motivation? Altså, når jeg sidder og lytter på det, så kan jeg høre, at her er tre mennesker, som oprigtigt er interesseret i at ændre verden. Så når I sidder og lytter til en, der faktisk kommer med en problemstilling, som har et kæmpe impact, kan I lige prøve at uddybe, hvad er det, der går i gang i jeres hoveder?
Den måde, jeg ser på det, for det første, så, så ser jeg om det er noget, altså har det gang på jord, kan der være en forretning i det, fordi der kan heller ikke være, altså hvis der ikke er en forretning i det, så på sigt, så bliver det bare charity, og så forsvinder det alligevel, så kan det ikke, man ikke gøre en forskel. Punkt to, så kigger jeg på, om det er noget, jeg synes, at der kan være en sammenhæng med noget andet, jeg laver. Hvis det er noget helt andet, i en helt anden branche osv., så er det meget svært at forholde sig
så
til.
Så det kommer før det at sige, det gør et reelt impact? Eller ja, siger du, det her...
Hvis det slet ikke gør en impact, jamen så synes jeg slet ikke, det er relevant for det, jeg går og laver, og for den forretning, jeg vil lave, så du ved, det har jeg ikke tid til.
Og hvad med dig, Christian?
Helt enig i August betragtning. Der skal være en kant og en vinkel i det, og vinkelen her for mig, det er, at det åbenlyse åndssvag i at kassere 99% af et produkt, ja. Det må da være en bedre måde at udnytte på og få en forretning ud af. Kan det lade sig gøre, så vil jeg meget gerne høre om det.
Ja.
Altså for mig, jeg synes bare, det her med, at han tænker lidt mere cirkulært og få de her tanker ind helt grundlæggende i en forretningsmodel, det er dejligt at se.
Så det var en god forretning at komme og pitche?
Altså, ja, det synes jeg. Det gav mening. Det gav helt sikkert mening. Og der var ikke rigtig nogen steder, hvor det faldt helt sammen. Og...
Café Bueno gav altså ret god mening, sagde investorerne. Men de gik alligevel ikke med. Derfor har jeg nu, som så vanligt, inviteret Juan Medina ud på mit kontor for at tale om, hvordan er det gået med kaffegrumsen. Kan de virkelig samle den her kæmpe sum på 15 millioner til deres bioraffinaderi, så gode intentioner går hen og bliver til god forretning?
Welcome back, Juan.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. And you're from Café Bueno?
Yes, I'm CEO and one of the founders of Café Bueno.
Exactly. And we met, you were in the program 5 months ago.
Indeed.
And as I remember the pitch in the donut model, you came in and then you started talking about coffee oil, coffee grind.
Yeah.
A factory in Colombia.
In Copenhagen.
And Copenhagen.
Yeah.
And then you laid out this schematic of a gigantic company with lots of moving parts and... How's that going 5 months after?
Well, pretty good. I mean, we have not raised initially the funding that we have been that we are looking for. So we are close now. Also, we already have some investors on board and leading the investment, and hopefully we can close it.
Okay. Step. So, but as I remember your pitch, and seeing the investors' faces and trying to you seeing you navigate their questions. How was it to like explain this big machinery to these investors?
I think that, well, nowadays, I think as time passes, people get it more, to say it the way initially.
But in that room with those investors?
Yeah, it was a bit more complex, especially since there were no visual kind of aid. And usually when I pitch, obviously you show like a schematic and it's easier to get. I don't think they got it very well, to be honest.
But, I don't think they did either.
But actually, for me, it's pretty straightforward. These people produce a lot of coffee every day from coffee shops, hotels, and in big industrial producers. someone's big setup for us. We use existing waste management infrastructure. Mm. So it's the same people who are already picking up the waste, basically. So instead of then deliver it to the current, no landfill, but the current waste management processing facility, they will deliver the coffee grounds to us.
Christian Monk from Drosbæk and Naturli, he wanted to see more. Did you go into a conversation with him?
Indeed, we did. I later on sent my pitch deck to August and to Christian.
Yeah.
Christian.
August Lund was the other investor who wanted to see.
Yeah. I sent the pitch deck to both. With Christian, we had some follow up emails. He told me that they were going to, he was going to help me find, that he has asked to help me find like a toll manufacturer, so we could ask less money, something that actually we found later on, not thanks to that, but we found a partner who helped us minimize the capital expense somehow until we reach a bigger kind of life. But no, at some point he stopped answering because I suppose he didn't have any positive news based on his inquiries.
Christian. And that was Christian. Yeah, Christian. Okay, yeah.
And I think I also offer him if they would be interested. I think for us, it would be very interesting to kind of, provide some kind of ingredient to Naturli. Mm-hmm. We already have some ingredients that we are pushing into the plant-based type of alternative protein market that might be interesting for them. So probably I will continue pushing.
Yeah, you can just email him.
Yeah.
What about August Lund? As I remember, August had bought a coffee farm in Mexico, I think. And I know that he's also invested in coffee shops in Copenhagen.
Yeah.
So have you been continuing the conversation with him?
No, I sent both the pitch deck and I only received the response from Christian, and that's where it ended basically.
Okay.
On what I just mentioned from August, I didn't hear it back.
So what has happened the last 5 months?
In the last 5 months, well, actually it has happened a pretty lot as well. We have been pretty busy with other stuff, and I also have been speaking to other investors from Denmark and from abroad as well. So yeah, we're closing. We have some lead investors. We're talking to some.
Who's the leading investor?
I cannot say right now until I close it.
But is it based in Denmark? Or?
Yeah, there's one. We're talking to a Danish lead investor, and as well to some big coffee companies as well from Scandinavia as well that they are interested. We also have our distributor of ingredients from Germany on board, and we also have a fund from Ireland on board as well.
What is the key product you want to?
We have our oil, which we also have some derivatives that I don't want to complicate you a little bit. But everything, we have an oil that we can produce as well other things out from the oil, to say it the way. Then we have a flour. Then there's a flour? Yeah, a coffee flour, which has been pretty demanded, actually. People like it a lot.
What is a coffee flour?
A flour that you could use in bakery. Coffee is very high in protein.
Yeah, but is it a flavor or a flour? You know,
it's a flour, like a
it's
rye
a flour
to make flour bread. Bread. Bakery.
Ah, now I know. Okay, flour, not a sniffing cloud. I didn't understand. I thought we were talking about flour on the plant that you're
mel,
using.
Mel, cafe mel. Cafe
meal.
Meal.
Okay, so flour that you could use in bread.
Yeah,
so bread, you can make coffee flour.
Chocolate, cookies, all of these different things.
And this
things.
Is the plan for the next 3 years?
Yeah, we already have these basically, not in the market, but there are some different companies who are making some different experiments and formulations with it. So also we're working on a kind of some pigments for the hair and some fibers.
Every time I ask you what is your key product, it goes from 10 seconds from oil to a range of flour, now pigments.
We're an ingredients provider. That the key here is for us, that's also why it's sometimes if a key of an ingredient or so we're like, let's say Christian Hansen or all these. Christian Hansen is an ingredients company.
Yeah.
They have 20 different ingredients, 50, 30. The key here is like having a portfolio of different ingredients. Some of them are going to be of high value that you sell low quantities, but big, higher 1,000, 2,000 euros. But you're going to also have some more bulk products like the flower that they sell below 10 euros. So you have to have like a balanced portfolio to be able to recycle the most amount of coffee and have the biggest impact possible. So it's a very thin line and thought about.
You've process. Taught me one thing being on this show. You've taught me one thing, Juan, is coffee is genius.
Indeed. Indeed.
Grums for kaffe kan meget mere, end jeg anede. Og jeg håber på, at Café Bueno kommer til at bruge alt den danske kaffegrums og skabe en vidunderlig eksotisk bæredygtig forretning, der kan komme ud over landets grænser. Jeg er i øvrigt helt vild med, at de har valgt at blive i Danmark. Og så en stor tak til alle dem, der har været med til at lave det her program. Stort tak til Politikken for at udbrede donutmodellen til en masse mennesker, der egentlig burde kende den i forvejen, fordi de har en højere uddannelse. Irma for at give mig en masse skejser, Pernille Bønlykke, min redaktør, Christoffer Heide, min producer, så er der David Lynge. Sidst han var her, der fik han et stativ i hovedet, nu har han en vidunderlig ar lige under øjet. Lyt med næste gang, vi ses i donutmodellen med Morgan.